B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, February 22nd, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in gaming news from over at the Checkpoint News Desk. That discussion is ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with a segment we like to do here on Checkpoint XP called Reset the Bracket. Normally we break down all the hottest issues in esports, but today we're going to reset the bracket for those of you just getting into the esports scene. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
What up, though?
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look. Yeah, so normally, like you say, when we do this, we're doing, you know, whatever's big at the moment in esports, but we hear all the time from people who aren't into esports. We hear questions, concerns that they might have, and we hear a lot of the same questions and concerns over and over again. So we thought we might take some time here to address those. And I think one of the ones that I hear a lot that actually drives me nuts is, I don't really like sports games, so I don't think esports would be my thing.
Oh, honey.
I've heard this more than I care to admit.
And to be fair, if you have no idea what esports is, it is exactly the first thing that would pop into your mind.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see how someone would be able to make that connection. But no, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about sports games played competitively or really anything to do necessarily
with
sports games.
Although that is a facet of esports.
It can be a facet of esports if that's something that you want to watch. Esports is any video game that is played competitively.
Yep.
It could be the original Mortal Kombat arcade. It could
Tetris.
Be Tetris.
It could be
as
farming simulator.
As we've recently learned. Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't need to be admitted here on the program. But anyway, the point is that esports is really, yeah, any competitive video game, whether it's Smash Brothers or PlayerUnknown's Battleground or Overwatch, when it's played competitively and when it's played and there's money on the line, that is typically what is termed as esports. So instead of thinking of like
don't think of Madden,
don't think of like NHL 2008 or something. That's not necessarily what we're talking about. It's any, you know, Street Fighter, whatever, anything played competitively.
All right, another one we hear all the time. So people really like to watch other people play video games?
Yeah, so here's the one that I probably hear more than anything else. And the answer very simply is yes. But to make an analogy is that you watch people play traditional sports. You sit at home with your beer and your pizza and you watch other people play football, basketball, baseball, etc.
Right. It's about developing that appreciation for seeing play at its highest level.
I have a little different take on that, because there was a guy that I worked with once upon a time who, when you brought this concept up to him, wasn't visualizing it as watching the gameplay. He was visualizing just a camera on a person playing a game.
Well, he's
that's what you watch.
That's not a smart person.
No, well, first of all, I mean, well, people do, though, tune in for the personality of
those
people,
of course,
as well.
Sure.
But yeah, it's not about watching the person play. It's about watching the game play itself.
Right. Yeah.
Up next, we've got, what if I'm just not into video games?
Okay, then go away.
Well, no, I completely disagree with that notion, because guess what? I would never want to play hockey. I would never want to play football. I would never want to play baseball, but I love watching all three of those.
How about the fact that none of us actually want to play EVE Online, but we love hearing about it?
No, that's true, but at the same time, right, I know Joe is the only other person in the room that's a traditional sports fan.
Sure.
Right? So when I hear about sports stories, that's who I talk to. I'm not going to go to you guys to show you anything cool happening in baseball because y'all's the only one that cares.
Right. I get it. But what I'm saying is, even if you're not into video games, like maybe you don't like playing games, but seeing something played at the highest level and learning the personalities behind it,
I got you.
Or finding your local team, there's tons of ways to enjoy esports.
Everybody likes slam dunks from 9.
Sure. But here's the thing is that I think that, you know, to anyone who doesn't just have any interest or appreciation for video games, esports is a pretty tough sell. You know?
Think so? Like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, now, granted, it's my parents, okay? And they're slightly older than the target demographic of esports.
Sure.
But just trying to share what I do with them as a profession and trying to let them into, you know, what my professional life is, you know, trying to get them to understand, just understand what is happening kinetically on the screen, because they want to understand it. That's, I think, where you start running into some problems. Somebody who wants to understand but feels as if the program is not explaining enough or speaking to their understanding.
Well, that's a presentation issue.
It is a presentation issue, but I think that there is, you can be so disconnected from video games that there's just simply nothing that anyone could do to give you the context to be able to appreciate it. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening in Colorado on ESPN Denver 1600, 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. We're currently playing a game called Reset the Bracket, and we're playing it for those that have maybe never gotten into esports, maybe just trying to get into esports for the first time.
All right, up next is another very common question we get is, can I watch on TV?
Sometimes. You sometimes can watch on TV. Some of the bigger events may find themselves televised on TV. A big fighting game tournament, and that's Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, etc. A lot of times that finds its way to ESPN2
or TBS
during that tournament. But right now, the Overwatch League has a TV sponsor or a TV partnership with Disney XD. So some of the matches are played on Disney XD, as well as I think you could catch just about every match on ESPN.
I think it's the ESPN app, right?
Yeah, app. Mm-hmm. So that's not technically TV, but you can catch it on streaming.
At the end of the day, your best bet for watching esports is always going to be websites like Twitch or YouTube.
That's
those are probably number one and number two for watching esports.
Now, here's the thing. If you've got a smart TV, those apps are usually either installable or come prepackaged with the television.
Yep.
So you may be able to watch esports and you may not even know it.
This next one's important. All right. If I don't play the game, how am I supposed to follow what's going on?
Valid question.
That's
super
a great
valid
question.
And in the same vein of this, esports needs a John Madden. And I honestly believe that. I think esports needs a person who can bring the conversation about the strategy behind the game to its most basic level and probably have the telestrator as well, because that thing is brilliant.
Let's start with this. Many people who don't watch esports don't realize that there is, for any good esports event, there will be a play-by-play analyst and a color commentator.
Yes.
There are people there to break down the action and explain what's going on. And some streams, not all, but some even have newcomer streams where you can get a more detailed breakdown of what's going on.
To be fair, the only one I've ever seen that is Dota. Dota is the only
StarCraft
one that I've ever seen.
StarCraft has also had one.
Okay,
in the past.
All right.
I don't know if
they
still do.
It's not a very common occurrence. And here's the thing: is that if you come into an esports competition knowing almost nothing about video games, then there is going to be a degree to which the commentators will talk over your head. However, if you have any ability or context for watching sports, you should be able to pick up on kind of the energy of what's going on by the commentating. And I think that that's one where the Overwatch League really, really shines. Their commentating is top notch. And even if you know nothing about Overwatch, you can walk away from a presentation like that with more knowledge of the sport than you did when you walked in. I'm constantly learning things by tuning tuning into the OWL. So I do think that there is an opportunity to learn.
And my biggest pro tip is actually came from you, Nate, because for a while it was really hard for you to get into the OWL. And then there was one night where I think with a lot of us were watching the World Cup, maybe, and just being around friends who know it and can help tune you into sort of like the key moments or some of the key formats to it will really help you learn, because you're also in on that energy and that excitement as well.
Well, don't ever forget, esports is fundamentally sports, and sports is fundamentally social. At the end of the day, you know, whether you're competing in sports or whether you're enjoying it as a spectator, it is a primarily social vehicle.
That's right.
And all of those things come along with esports as well. So I do think that there is a lot of value to be had from that.
Up next, we got, does my town have an esports team?
Good question.
Maybe. If you're on the coast, the answer is more than likely.
Probably. If you're near a big city, they probably do. Like, here in Detroit, we have the Renegades, even though they're not part of, like, Overwatch League, they are a local, you know, franchise.
Here's, I think, a little bit better of an answer, is that esports is not inherently geolocated.
Not yet.
That most teams identify to regions as opposed to specific, you know, states or cities or areas of a particular country.
You're more likely to root for North America than you are for your city.
Exactly. And I think that actually makes esports much more interesting to follow in terms of, you know, it's an inherently international competition. So a lot of times, you know, it has more in common with watching the Olympics than it does with necessarily watching football.
Can you actually go to one of these esports events like I would like a football game? Can you actually attend?
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. And they're great.
Absolutely. And I highly recommend you do, because there's a lot of really positive energy there most of the time. I'm going to say most of the time because there have been some incidents.
Just like a traditional sports event.
Exactly. Just like any other sports event, there have been incidences. There have been incidents of people being rowdy and, you know, getting a little bit too into the crowd. But at the same time, it's a great family environment. It's a great day out. It's really fun and absolutely something that I encourage you to enjoy. Well, listen, we got to leave it right there. That's going to do it for our game of Reset the Bracket. But listen, we want to hear from you. Do you have any specific questions about esports that you want answered? You could hear them here on Reset the Bracket. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
The Toronto Defiant have unveiled their contenders team. We'll tell you about it.
Gaming news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books and nerd radio. For everything from sci-fi to wrestling to all things nerdy in between, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Now let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming news update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
The Toronto Defiant have officially unveiled their contenders team. Branded as the Montreal Rebellion, the squad will live and compete in Montreal. They'll also be able to work on two-way contracts that would see them compete for both the Defiant and the Rebellion.
Gosh, I really like all of the branding around this team.
Yeah, right?
Oh, I haven't even seen
it. Montreal Rebellion.
The Montreal Rebellion. What a great team name.
They also picked up a former Florida Mayhem player, Mr. Logic, so I'm glad that he's finally getting team time.
Can we talk about how much better that is in like their hockey team, the Montreal Canadiens?
Oh, yeah, that's
Habs,
true.
Man.
The Habs.
I love this logo. This logo.
Isn't
amazing.
It a great logo?
It's, yeah.
Dude, it is fantastic, and I just wish I liked the team more, right? Like, I've got my Boston Jump Rising, and that's my team. I'd like to see more out of the Toronto Defiant before I officially switch my allegiances.
They're looking not bad.
They don't look bad, but I got to see more out of them.
All right.
Team Liquid has struck a major sponsorship deal with Twitch. The deal puts Twitch in charge of seeking sponsors and partnerships with Team Liquid, meaning that if you want to partner up with Liquid, you have to go through Twitch. It's not all that surprising. Actually, they've actually been partnered for about 8 years as for streaming purposes.
Right.
This is just an extension of that partnership.
But at the same time, if I'm another team, I'm feeling really raw and salty about this, especially considering Twitch is the delivery platform for a lot of esports in general. So
as the broadcast platform, you're not working directly with teams. Like having a team work with the broadcast platform, I don't think grants the team any additional, like,
it gives you bargaining clout.
Very little, but like the Twitch is in business with the Overwatch League, you know, like I would be more concerned about their dealings with leagues than with teams.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, like if I saw the NFL was partnered with the Dallas Cowboys, I'd be like, okay, that's a concern. If I see NBC's partner with the Dallas Cowboys, that's less of a concern.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
China has once again stopped approving games seeking permission to release in the country. Industry experts had hoped the worst was behind us when China reopened submissions earlier this year, but as the country struggles to work through the backlog of games that is estimated at around 7,000 titles, they have once again shut down.
Unacceptable!
Worse still, the Chinese government has said they expect to only approve about 3,000 titles this year compared to 8 to 9K in past years.
Does this have anything to do with the tariffs, you think?
Could.
I don't think so.
Could. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, nobody knows.
That's the crazy part.
Like, I don't see how it behooves them not to. Like, this legitimately feels like them being like, you know what? We don't like video games, and this is what we're doing about it.
That's ridiculous, man.
This is so frustrating.
Yeah,
so frustrating considering how large the Chinese market is for games and for esports in particular. This is so frustrating.
I mean, if you're looking forward to Apex Legends over in China,
nope.
I'd get patient because it's going to be a minute.
You better get good now because once that opens up, if it opens up.
The story continues to confound me at all turns.
It's typically speaking, when there's money to be made, that money will get made.
Yeah.
And this is flying in the face of making a lot of money.
The only calculus that I can do, the only answer that I come up with is that there's some personal axe to grind in here that I just don't understand.
The president of China hates video games for some reason.
Or hates Tencent.
Yeah, or Tencent.
With Tencent.
Yeah, like, I feel like this has way more to do with something that, like, someone at Tencent said to somebody who works for the government. And now that's just snowballed into,
It seems like the proper move there would be to just keep stonewalling Tencent, not cut off your nose to spite your face
but
and
Tencent
block all games.
Has a stake in so many studios and developers that, like, we just got to block it all.
It's very strange.
The Renegades entered the legend stage of IEM Katowice 2-0, where they met up against Astralis.
Yes.
They shocked viewers worldwide when they managed to come from behind and take the first map.
Yeah.
Before Astralis buckled down to claim the series.
Aww.
The Renegades then faced Team Vitality for the right to advance, which they won in a best of three series. They'll now move on to the top eight next week.
So I am so proud of the Renegades.
That's awesome. Is this double elimination or no?
So this is a group play where you have to earn your right to top eight, so then that'll be an elimination bracket when you get up there.
I see. And that's just an elimination bracket, not double.
I believe it's a single elimination.
Okay.
Yeah. So you for this stage though, you had to get to three wins basically to qualify. Both Astralis and Renegades were 2-0. Astralis qualified off their win off Renegades, and then Renegades qualified off Vitality.
Congratulations to the Renegades. This will be exciting to watch.
Yeah, by the way, the Renegades are not supposed to be in top eight at IEM Katowice. They qualified on, I think, an Asia Minor. Like, I don't know. They're not supposed to be here. This is shocking.
Well, good for them.
Indeed. Two LCL teams have received warnings following their match with Vaevictus Esports. Rox Gaming was issued a warning after they banned five support champions against Vaevictus, a move that the league said was in poor sportsmanship. Vegas Squadron was also issued a warning for not putting forth their full effort following their 52-2 victory over Vaevictus.
Okay,
this is very divisive.
A few things. Okay, first is that Vaevictus is the squad that we reported on previously.
All-female squad
that Vaevictus signed for their League of Legends team.
Yes.
Out of Russia, yes. Right? Correct?
This is the Russian Continental League.
Now, I have a question here. Vegas Squadron was issued a warning
For not putting forth their full effort.
For stomping them in a 52-2
victory. No, they were extending the game.
Here's the problem. No game should ever go to 52-2. Yes. If you were that far ahead, that game should have been over at 18 minutes if you were actually trying.
It should have been
20-2 at most, and you should have won. You were drawing it out.
I see.
And that's what... The other one, I'm actually not against. People were mad they banned five support champions as if saying, like, they're girls, they only play support champions. Here's the problem. Four of their players are support mains. That actually is their champion pool that you're banning against. I think that's an okay move.
Yeah. I don't know. This just seems awfully strange.
But, like, I'll say this about the Vegas Squadron thing. Hey, if you're going to yell at Vegas Squadron for not putting forth their full effort, how about you yell at the management of Vaevictus for not putting together a competitive team?
Well, and I think that's fairly valid because, like, it really does seem like they're making
it's a publicity stunt.
It's a Travis Shamrock.
Even that, they want this team to fail because remember, we also reported on this show that this was a team that was looking to be sold.
Yep.
So yeah. They're probably
it's Major League. This is Major League happening in real life.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Literally.
It's the end of an era for Nintendo of America. Longtime boss Reggie Fils-Aimé is set to retire in April, and if that's not bad enough, wait until you hear who's going to be replacing him. It's none other than Senior Vice President of Marketing and Sales, Doug Bowser.
Oh, no!
During his 15-year tenure with Nintendo, Reggie oversaw mega successes and like the DS handheld and the Wii. Bowser has taken over Nintendo of America.
Yes, Doug Bowser is the new head of Nintendo America. First of all, I wish nothing but the best to Reggie.
So much love to Reggie.
I remember when he first started.
What was that, 2004-ish?
Something around there, yeah.
I think he took over in 2006 is when he took over as president.
And he really did bring a needed element of PR that was missing from Nintendo of America.
Yeah, specifically Nintendo of America. Nintendo was growing strong in Japan, but in America, no, they had lost their way.
Yeah, and I think Reggie did a lot to right that ship. I think he was constantly the butt of jokes, right?
Well, like, his body was ready.
He had so many memes made about him, but I never saw him, like, take...
He leaned into it.
Yeah, like, he never did anything but take all of those jokes with, like, you know...
He took it every time. He was awesome.
I'm going to miss him.
Google is set to unveil their new gaming hardware at GDC this year in March. Nicknamed Project Yeti, people began speculating that it would be a game streaming service last year, and this seemed to be confirmed when they experimented with streaming Assassin's Creed Odyssey via browser. One of the many companies trying to crack the Netflix for gaming problem, Google has promised all will be revealed on March 19th.
Yeah, and this was something that was actually a part of in the alpha, the sort of thing, the experiment
they
did for Assassin's Creed Odyssey. How'd it run?
It worked. Well, it worked very competently. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, 4K resolution type stuff, but it worked. And I think this is something, you know, Google has the servers and the bandwidth
and the name
and the technology works. You know what I mean? Like, and that's one of the I understand. You know, because I've been playing on my hashtag my Steam Link a lot, and you know, I play it on Wi-Fi. I play connected to the LAN.
And you played on the Vita before that.
And I did play on the Vita before that. But I have to say that the Vita had way more hiccups
than
the Steam Link does.
Interesting.
And now I'm more convinced than ever that coming up in the next 10 years, you know, our computers at work will, you know, we won't need a graphics card in them.
Yeah.
We will just be able to pull up a browser.
Yeah, especially when 5G comes around, you know what I'm saying?
That's what we really need to get here. Yeah.
It's the really important one. That's the breakthrough technology.
You say in the next 10 years, if Google has anything to say about it, they're going to say in the next few months.
I'm going to be... Here's the biggest part of this whole thing for me is the title selection. That's going to be the biggest make or break. How many games can I play in it?
Who doesn't play ball with Google?
You know?
That's the question. They've got more money than God to throw at whatever problem they have.
You're right, and I would think that if I'm a game developer, I'm going to be jumping at the opportunity to get my game on the first streaming platform headed by Google. It does seem to be very, very attractive, but I just don't know.
I guess we'll find out in a few weeks, won't we?
I guess we will.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. In the wake of Apex Legends stealing headlines, a fire seems to finally have been lit under Epic Games. They've now revealed the details of the long-awaited Fortnite World Cup.
Yes.
Do you think that they would have ever announced this if Apex Legends had come? They would have just kept kicking that old can down the road. Oh, we have $30 million allocated for this thing. Well, we have it.
It's actually $100 million.
Whatever. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's $100 million.
Yeah.
It's there. It's totally there, guys. The dragons are coming.
Well, yeah. So they did reveal the details. The qualifying period will be running from April 13th through June 16th with the goal of finding the top 100 solo players and the top 50 duos players. Those players will then travel to New York for the Fortnite World Cup Finals, which take place July 26th through the 28th. And yes, that competition will have a $30 million prize pool, which makes it the now record holder, or will at that point.
I can't wait until 2 days before that happens, they come up with the next big thing in Fortnite that completely changes up everything.
That completely wrecks the meta.
That nobody's going to care about because $30
million! Yeah, well, here's what's nice for that, though, is even last place takes home 50 grand.
That's
so
ridiculous.
All you
got
to
do is make it.
Yeah,
wow.
You make it. 50 grand paid.
You're getting a payday.
That's some cash. Now, I'll say this. I do feel like Fortnite is feeling the heat from Apex Legends, but not because of this story. It's not this story that makes you think that. If they announce that today, they've been working out deals with where are we hosting this in New York? It's been in the works for the last couple months.
Fair.
Them releasing that battle pass
for free. Yeah.
That tells me that there's a little bit of nervousness.
Have you seen the commercial for that? Have you seen the spot for that? The video spot for that?
No.
Oh, it is thirsty.
Is it thirsty? The reek of desperation. Oh no!
It's just dancing with a. I think a dude had a llama head and just more dancing. Like, hey guys, we've got battle passes.
Remember us?
Hey guys, we're the fun, goofy battle royale game. Don't you remember the llamas, guys? Don't you remember the llamas? Don't remember the burger joint?
Remember Thanos?
Remember? Oh my God!
Oh God!
What are we gonna do?
To be fair.
We just added airplanes. Can we add spaceships? Is that a thing? Can we do that?
I don't think this was their first free battle pass. I feel like they've had another one, but the timing of it just...
I think the bigger thing here is that, okay, you dropped the biggest prize pool in the history of video games, right? And people, Robbie, as you said, at $30 million, people going to show up. They're going to play.
Yeah.
Regardless of what they think about the game.
Here's the question. Can they do it? Again,
is it sustainable?
Is $100 million for your World Cup sustainable? Because for as much as you can, as much money as Epic has raked in over the past, I don't know, 16 months when it comes to Fortnite, $100 million more than once.
Especially on their first year's profits, that would be 30 years of that.
Okay. I just figured it out. What just happened? What did we just report on the other day? Alfonso Ribeiro's lawsuit was thrown out, and suddenly the World Cup comes to fruition.
There we go.
That's what it was.
Carlton was holding up the World Cup.
They were keeping their legal fund tied up in their esports
getting
ready
scene. For the litany of thousands of lawsuits they were about to get.
Well, of course they would be worried about Carlton being a lawsuit. His dad's a judge.
Shut up!
Ow.
Was that on the show?
Yes.
Uncle
Phil was a judge. Oh, yeah. Damn, that's right.
He's a judge.
Vote for Philip Banks for judge.
That's right.
But Norris, to your point though, if Apex is eating into their numbers, this year isn't going to be the same as what last year was, Joe.
Well, but that's
it
what
might
I'm
not
saying.
Be sustainable going forward.
$100 million. First of all,
if they're only 10% as successful as last year, they'll only make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes, they will. But will the heads of Epic say, "Let's tie up $100 million of that again"?
Mm-hmm. And if you come out next year with the World Cup and it's not the same amount, I feel like people are going to be a little salty about that, aren't they? It was 30 million last year.
There's definitely going to be questions. But I mean, like, I do feel like, A, this grabs all of the headlines away from Dota 2. The International will never be able to be as interesting.
Yeah, they're never making 30 million.
Ever again.
Yo, what if, right, because China's incensed, they ain't got no other video games for them to play. They see Fortnite doing all this craziness, and they just start buying skins left and right.
Oh, they just back whatever the treasure chest is this year, and,
yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, we're going to see like $45 million at the International.
They put out some
year.
Limited edition skin at $50 a pop. Like, bam.
There you go.
I don't
$42
know, maybe. $42 million for the International.
And meanwhile, some fat cat at Valve is just salivating.
Yeah.
I dig it.
That's true.
We don't need to give Valve any more money. We really don't.
We really don't.
But we're going to.
I mean, yeah,
everybody's
of course.
Going to.
Right, we're going to.
Who else do we give our money to?
I'm definitely not switching over to the Epic Store.
There you
and
go.
And I sure as ain't going over to the Discord store.
What about Origin?
Get the fuck out of here. Bro, I got one game on Origin, and that's Apex, and I hate that.
And I'm mad about that one.
I hate that experience.
Dude, let me tell you, used to play like BioShock on your computer, and you had to connect to Windows Live.
Oh, so, games for Windows Live?
Yeah, you had to
connect
to that.
Oh, dude.
The worst.
Tell me about it. I actually just got done playing Fallout 3. You know that game won't run unless you put in the runtime environment for games for Windows Live?
Ooh,
no
really?
Way.
Yeah, because it won't register the DLC. It just will not run. You can buy the Game of the Year edition of Fallout 3 right now from Steam and install it, and it will not run.
That's how BioShock was. You had to have Games for Windows Live, and you had to have an older version of C++ installed if you wanted
my
to be able
God.
To
do
that.
Roll back your C++.
Oh yeah, man.
No.
Oh yeah.
Ugh.
I think they fixed
terrible.
That with the remastered version.
That is terrible. But yeah, that I just had to do that. I think that there's a mod to be able to get around the Games for Windows Live now.
I would hope so.
But if you had, but if you have Windows 10, you don't have any of those runtime files.
No.
So the other option is to actually just download the Windows 10 runtime files for Games for Windows Live.
Could all you, that to play Fallout 3.
To play Fallout 3 for like 55 hours, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to leave it right there. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. All right, that's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis, and of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.